Welcome to the Surely Not Podcast, a production of Whitewater Publications. Join Cassie Garrett and Alan Stanger as they dissect the top headlines, social media posts, and internet stories that just make you scratch your head and say, surely not. Join them as they get to the truth of the matter on the Surely Not Podcast. Cassie, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, today's kind of a different subject than what we normally talk about as far as just lighthearted. Today we're going to be talking about an upcoming case that could ultimately affect Roe versus Wade.
Well, that's a little more serious.
Yeah. But it's such a big deal.
Absolutely.
What do you want to know about that, Alan? You tell me from your perspective.
I think a lot of listeners don't even know what Roe versus Wade is.
Well, I agree with that in a sense. I think that people probably have an idea or a general idea of what they perceive it to be. So I just recently did an article about this for the newspaper, which is what gave me the idea to talk about it on here. Because in the newspaper, you don't want to put in a ton of history and things like that because you'll just lose readers, and that's really not what you're there for. You're just giving them kind of a quick background, and then they can research it more and then let them know what's happening and coming up. But it's actually such a deep topic, and there's so many things that go along with it that make it kind of perfect for this. So the original case in 1973 is when it was going on, and it was in Texas, and the resident that was dubbed Jane Roe, that was her alias to protect her privacy at the time, her name was Norma McCorvey, and she was 21, and she was pregnant with her third child, and she sought to terminate the pregnancy. So at the time, there was an article, it was Article 1196 of the Texas Penal Code, limited abortions to circumstances when the quote for it was procured or attempted by medical advice for the purpose of saving the life of the mother. So at that time, they could say that basically at any point in time, there was no time set on that. So, you know, maybe another state would perform the abortion or something like that, but Texas Penal Code didn't allow that. So I think that in some of the stuff that I read, and, you know, always this is, I don't get as technical on the podcast, but so you can always go back and check it out. But I feel like she had a place that she was planning to go, but it closed. And I know that at the time her friend had recommended to say that she had been raped because that was
she
another.
She couldn't have an abortion.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, but she didn't. And she went ahead then and decided, with the help of two attorneys, Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey. And Sarah Weddington was the lead on hers, and she was 25 at the time and previously had also had an abortion. And along with them, she sued Dallas County District Attorney Henry Wade. So in case people don't understand that.
There's where Wade comes
from. Yeah, Roe versus Wade, who represented Texas. So a three-judge panel of a Texas district court held that the law was unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court then agreed to hear the case. So that's when that all started. The court ultimately decided that they made a landmark decision affirming that access to safe and legal abortion was a constitutional right. So the case effectively legalized abortion across the United States and then became a significant point of conflict amongst, you know, citizens and remains a subject of debate today, right? So that was in 1973. And then the court had to then, as a lot of times that we see with federal government, they'll kind of make a blanket rule. And then after that, it's left up to the state to decide what happens from there down. So that's basically what happened in 1973. So they decided that before completing the first trimester, a woman could have an abortion, and electing to do so could not be criminalized. Then it went into the second trimester. So for the remainder of the pregnancy, they could only during the second trimester do an abortion if the mother's health was in danger. Right. Risk. And they say that that was based on the state has an interest in preserving the mother's health as well. So they have the mother's health and the child's health to consider from a state standpoint. But then for the remainder of the pregnancy, after the fetus reaches viability, the state may regulate or prevent abortion unless such a procedure is vital to protect the mother's life. The authority is based on the state's interest then to preserve the life of the unborn child. So second trimester, it's basically saying it's the state's job to, you know, preserve the mother's life if need be. And then, you know, kind of goes from there. So, yeah. That's kind of how that started.
Yeah. So technology's changed a little bit from then to now. Now you can do an ultrasound and they know mm-hmm. that the heart's beating during the first trimester.
Right. So that's what gets really interesting when you start to look at Roe versus Wade and you think about 73 to now, you're so right on that. There's just so much that's changed since they sat down and made this decision, you know, and it was such a landmark decision. So to back up a little bit, in 1992, then, this came, as we just said, this has remained a hot topic forever and still is right now. And after Roe versus Wade, a lot of states did put in extreme legislation regarding abortion. There was a lot of things. And then at the flip side of that, there was also a lot more freedoms being implemented in other states for it. So it was kind of, you know, just out there, a lot of state control, like we talked about. So in 92, there was another case that came before the Supreme Court that would, you know, challenge Roe versus Wade for the first time. Do you remember when that came out?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, I was pretty young then. So that's when I was really hearing about Planned Parenthood and things right. like that. So I remember that part of it, but I don't remember the case itself. So I'm curious to ask you, was it, you know, now we're facing kind of the same thing that we were facing in 92. Was it a bigger deal back then?
Well,
than it is
here's
now?
The difference. So back then it was, that's when news was news on TV. You didn't have all the
You're
internet.
Right. Yeah.
And it was, you know, you had your local news, then the nightly news, mm-hmm. which was nationwide news. And for several months, it was the number one top story on the national news level.
And listen, I have spoke to just community members as I was kind of gathering the story. There's a lot of data that's put out there, but I don't always trust it because it's so just such a drop in the bucket, you realize. You know, it's such a small group that I feel like it's not always accurate. And even if you put those numbers in there and say, like, this is 100 people that were interviewed, people just look at that number and they go, well, 50% or, you know, whatever. So I don't really go off that kind of data. So I was just trying to talk to the community. And I'm going to be honest, people that I know care about this subject didn't know anything about it, had not yeah. heard anything about it recently. Had you heard about it coming back around?
I had. So, and I'm not probably, I'm very defined when it comes to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born in 1966.
Right.
I was given up for adoption. So I hazard to guess if I would have been born in the 90s or 2000s, there's a chance that I wouldn't have had the chance to be adopted.
Right.
So to me, unless it's a life-threatening injury or, you know, life-threatening or it's rape or right. incest, you know, I have a hard time with abortion.
Sure. And you know what? Here's my thing. Again, I always say I try not to make a firm stance on something, you know, on the air because of my journalism outside of here. But I will say that what I think is so important about any subject like this before we get further into what happened in 92 and then what could possibly happen now, I think the most important thing is that you have to be educated about it, not only on, you know, kind of that fundamental standard of what we're talking about here, but also the big picture moral side of it, because this is an emotional thing too. This just isn't a black and white law. There's a lot that goes on with this, consequences on both sides. So as I was preparing the article for the newspaper, my oldest came in and she's just great. She's 15. I know I'm a mom saying that about a teenager, but this kid is just, she's good and she's smart. And I think that's just what happens with your oldest one. And she was asking me about what I was writing about, and I was telling her, and she was like, well, you know, explain it to me. Let's go back through it. So we did. We talked all the way through it. And, you know, she asked me, well, okay, so let's say, and she didn't ask me my opinion. That's not what she said, but she said, okay, well, let's look at both sides of it. She said, if I was raped, would you expect me to keep the baby?
Yeah. See, to me, that shouldn't even, like I said, rape, incest, you know, a health problem to the mother. There's no question.
Right. Well, and what I said to her, though, I totally understand what you're saying there. I trust me, everything that's going to come out of my mouth has no ground either way, to be completely honest. But one thing I did talk to her through is that you have to think about, and I actually brought up adoption because of, I have one of my best friends is adopted, and her mom and dad were 14 and 15 when they got pregnant with her. And I don't know that very many kids would have that baby these days.
So, yeah. So,
and so for me, it's really, I feel sensitive about that too. Like, I'm so thankful that my best friend is here, and I love her parents, and she loves her parents. There's no, like, those aren't my parents. They're her parents. And so that is hard for me. But I, you know, just told Sophie, I said, you have to look at beyond your moment, you know, in the sense of, and this is going to be different for every single body. Because she said, what would you want me to do? And I said, that is not a decision I can make for you in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
That is a decision that I would be glad to offer you whatever insight I had, but I would also send you to professional resources to talk you through that, because I'm not, you know, and, right. And I'm not right. going to do that to her. My goal would be to support her. But I did say, you know, think about the fact of how many people want to adopt a baby. And I said, you know, one of the beautiful things about adoption is if, you know, people don't want that child to have to know their backstory, they don't have to. A lot of those kids don't even care to, because they literally, that's not their parents. So that doesn't, you know, that doesn't affect their day to day. And I said, you know, the trauma would have already been established to you. And then there's an additional trauma that's going to come to you naturally, that is not your fault. It wasn't right. your fault that happened.
Right.
And then if you were to, you know, feel like the best thing would be to get an abortion because of this horrible thing that's happened to you, naturally, you're going to deal with that trauma too. So I would want you to explore, could you put it up, you know, could you put the baby up for adoption?
Right.
Could you close that chapter by doing that and saying, you know what, God's bigger than this situation. And again, that's what I said. It's also just a society moral thing as well, but just saying, like, is it bigger than this situation? Can I do this and then close the store and just know that I did everything I can? I gave this kid a chance at life, and now I'm going to walk away. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in that
right.
situation, but I would want to just have that conversation with my daughter. You know, it's not a conversation I would have with everybody's daughter. That's
right.
for them to decide.
Right.
But I just think that, yeah, there's so much to it to think through.
So it's funny. So my biological father was 14 and my biological mom was 15 as
Aww,
well.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a singer in a band called The Juveniles. She was kind of a groupie, and
there you have it.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
yeah,
a good
yeah.
story.
But
no wonder you're such a on air whiz.
Yeah, but just like your friend, you
yeah.
know, I'm here. So my issue is not the rape or the incest or
right.
health. It's the fact that so many people use abortion as birth control.
I know.
That's where the
I
real
know.
Crutch of the issue is.
Yeah, because the rest of it is a much deeper
yeah,
side of it.
That shouldn't even... And unfortunately, what happened is the proponents for abortion use the rape, use the incest,
yes.
use the health. Those are givens.
Yeah.
Okay, those are givens. So now let's go to where the majority of the vast majority of abortions are being used as birth control methods.
Right.
That's where I personally just, that to me, if there's a heartbeat there, that's a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I feel the same way. Being a mom, having three girls, for me, I can't say any different, because those babies are just, they're part of you. You know, it's crazy. And I can't talk too much about being a mom, because I'll just cry right here on air, because I love those girls so much. It's like, it's just something you can't even describe. And I know for dads, it's the same, just totally on a different way. But man, there's just something about having those babies inside you and then birthing them and then feeding them and loving them. It's just, it's unreal. You know, it's just such an unreal, real bond. So anyways, back to the...
Back to Roe versus
Back Wade. To the meat of the matter here. So basically after 1973, like we talked about, over the subsequent several years, each state passed legislation regarding abortion restrictions and freedoms, which is what we talked about earlier. But the Supreme Court didn't hear any major court cases that would actually affect the ruling issued in 1973 until 1992. And that's when the Supreme Court revisited and modified its legal orders in the Roe case due to the Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So ultimately, how that case turned out was that the court reaffirmed Roe's holding that a woman's right to choose to have an abortion is constitutionally protected, but still the court discarded Roe's trimester framework, and a new standard was set based on fetal viability. So that's where it gets different. So in 1992, you have to imagine technology had already...
Ultrasounds were...
We were at 19 years later.
Right.
You know, so this so is they could a tell, big gap.
Here, this is when the heartbeat actually starts.
Right.
This is when the fetus starts to form.
Right. So they change it and they say it's viability. So then after that, you know, it can get a little bit, depending on the state, legislation... That can get a little technical then. So what do they call viable? So the Supreme Court, like we talked about earlier, they've laid out the federal, which is viability. And now, you know, it kind of leaves it up to the states then. What does that look like? So where we're at now, there were several other, you know, I would encourage listeners to go, you know, if we talked through every single fact of this case, it would be the longest podcast ever. And you'd probably fall asleep listening to me talk that much. But I would encourage you to go back and look into it, because there are several other cases that set precedents throughout the years, and there's so much legislation that was passed and then that was removed. It's just amazing. So the case now involves a challenge against Mississippi law, and it's actually the Gestational Age Act. So that bans abortions after 15 weeks except in medical emergency or severe fetal abnormality. Jackson's Women's Health Organization is who filed the challenge and is the state's only abortion facility left. So that's what's going to be coming up ahead. So the court will decide whether all pre-viability prohibitions on elective abortions are unconstitutional. So that's huge, because it may not seem like that's a big deal, but that opens up a whole new world that I don't think people realize. So getting into that a little bit, you know, I think in 92, people felt like something more could have come out of what it did then, and it didn't. I think a lot of people are predicting that this could be a huge changing for the first time again in abortion laws. But it's hard to say.
Right.
You know, precedent is so important in the Supreme Court.
Yes, because they refer back to other cases.
Absolutely.
And that's why you've heard the term Roe versus Wade so many times.
Sure, because, I mean, that's the key to that. So, however, from a technology standpoint, then you've got places saying that it can be even more, because now we're
right
another however many years out from that the 92 case. So it'll be really, really something that I think people should keep their eye on. And this is where me just get on my little soapbox for one second. This is where local politics are so important. I feel like people never understand that. Trust me, I want you to go out and vote for the president 100%. But I want you to also go and vote for your town council, your school board, your governor, every elected official in your state, because that is who ultimately governs a lot of our laws. The federal government has a funny way of saying, hey, we're going to put this blanket law out. Figure it out. Good luck.
Exactly.
And we want you to come up with these numbers and do all this for us. So, you know, I mean, from budgets to everything else, that's why you see such wide variations in states.
Right.
And so if this was to all play out a certain way, there are several states that they call trigger states that would automatically, if Roe versus Wade was to be overturned, there would be trigger states that would automatically be for abortion states that they would allow it. And then there are also trigger states that would immediately make abortion illegal. And then the rest of the states, and I want to say the total of those two that would have for sure set standards already was less than 20. And then the rest would have to decide. So you know what's going to happen? Your governor, you know, that's what's going to happen. It's going to go that route where they're going to make those decisions. So if you thought, oh, it doesn't matter who I vote for my governor, it does now, you know. Right. And right. I mean, it's really, really a big deal. So, we'll see. We'll see.
And
how
I think
it shakes
a lot
out.
Of it has to do whether you're a red state or a blue state.
Sure.
As well.
Definitely. You know, I mean, I think that in any situation like this, that the best thing that anyone can do is be kind, be understanding, be educated, you know, be supportive, because at the end of the day, no matter what decision someone makes on that, I just don't feel like it ever ends right then and there.
No, it never will.
And that's heartbreaking to me, whether I agreed or disagreed with a decision, the fact that I know what, you know, they have to live with and all of that from their situations, all of it is just, it's heartbreaking. It really is. So it's a sad thing. And I don't know what the outcome will look like, but I think that it's just a very, very important reminder of how important it is to get out there and vote for what you believe in, because that's what it's really all about. It's the government for the people. So if the people believe in one way, then, you know, or the other way, that's what it's about.
Absolutely. So this has been a deep subject for
us. It has been. And I want to tell people that this will be something that they should look to by next June 2022. I think the case, they will start hearing it in the fall. I know there were some delays with COVID and stuff. So I'm thinking that it said June by 2022, there should be a decision reached. So that's something that I feel like people should really take time to pay attention to. There will also be another case heard in the fall after the justices return from their summer recess, and it joins New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Corlett, which is another high-profile case already on the court's docket involving gun rights. So just a,
don't get me started.
Well, I'm not. I am. That is not what this Really Not podcast is about. But so there's big things coming up that have to do with
our amendments. That's New York, state of New York, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want to, if there's a shooting with a Smith & Wesson gun, they want to make the manufacturer of the gun responsible for that shooting.
I know.
Okay. So I'll just state my, so if there's a wreck out here and there's a Toyota car in the wreck and the person dies.
I know.
Are you going to sue Toyota?
I know.
It's
a society of irresponsibility, non-consequences.
Yeah, so to me, the whole gun issue, it's not a gun issue. Mm-hmm. It's a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. So that's just, we could go hours talking about that. But the facts are, the number one weapon used in gun violence is a pistol, not an automatic weapon. The number one way somebody dies in gun violence, what do you think it is? You're gonna be shot.
Self?
Suicide. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I know.
It's a just, mental health issue.
It's sad. And it's again, what I will say, just like regarding abortion, I feel like until both sides are willing to open their ears and listen to the other side, we will never come together on a decision. If there's anything that frustrates me, and I say this a lot more lightly than I would have used to, I've always held, you know, government and police all in the highest standards my entire life. And what's happened now, though, is we have, I think, still a lot of brilliant people that come to a room with an agenda, and it's so important to them to push their agenda that there's no more coming to the table. You know, in the old debates, I don't know if you've ever watched the old debates.
Oh, yeah.
They literally would come out and they would say to one another, our views are similar on this subject. We're not even going to discuss it.
So here's what, did you hear what happened in the state of Texas this week?
I don't know.
So the state of Texas they were to come, you know, have their the Republicans, the House and the Senate or whatever mm-hmm. they have there. So all the Democrats got up and left, flew and left, so they couldn't vote on anything.
Yeah, that's
picked up their toys and left.
And listen, here's my issue with all of this. These people represent us. I don't care Republican or Democrat. You do not get to pick up and leave. That is not what you're elected to do.
They're using a tax. And they did a whole thing on them. They all flew privately someplace out of the state. Using taxpayer dollars, you know, that's not what they're elected to do.
That's right.
You might not like what's being voted on, but it's being voted on. You need to be there. If you want to vote no, you vote no. But it's your responsibility as a representative or a senator to be there.
It absolutely is. And it is a shame. And that's why I say government's supposed to be for the people.
By the people, for the people.
And that's right. And you know what? Until people realize that and they go back, I just did a series on America for the newspaper, like an 8-week series. And by the time I was done, I was so discouraged because I've really wanted to hit important hard topics this year. And I started out with a local drug case where someone was sentenced to basically life for dealing meth. And we explored both sides of it, what it looked like on his side, what it looked like on the other side. Then I did a mental health series using my own mental health that I was just diagnosed with in January. I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder. And then my last series was on America and the founding of our country. I got maybe one email feedback on that. Usually in the series, I would get, as soon as they rolled out on a Wednesday, I would just get bombarded with, you know, I loved your article. I love this. I love that. I don't think that my writing just went totally to crap in that series. It might have a little bit because it's a hard subject to write about. But it's so important. And I just can't believe that people don't care more about that. And when you really get into it and the sacrifice and everything that has happened, people have no idea.
Oh, I agree. None.
It's like history is just gone, and it is ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah. I could go on and on.
I know.
And we're either gain listeners or lose listeners.
I know.
Because, you know, some of the things going on in this country right now, first of all, are just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is all the way around. So anyways, but I would encourage people to really start getting in. And one good thing that's about the internet, there is about the internet, is that there's a lot of information accessible to you. And if you do it responsibly, I'm talking a lot. I mean, if you want to go and you want to get Donald Trump's financials, you can go get them. You can print them. Just exactly what he turned in, you're welcome to sift through it yourself. I will warn you that I think it's roughly 1,000 pages because I've printed it and I've gone through it. Not all of the pages by any means, but it's there. So information on every single law, bill, you name it, that's being passed, it's out there. And you
right.
probably haven't even an opportunity to give a public opinion on it because they request that. Everybody from NDOT to, you know, all the way up.
Right.
People just don't know. So there is a benefit to being able to access that information too.
All right. So we're going to wind this serious podcast down. So for Surely Not, I'm Alan Stanger with
Cassie Garrett.
And we promise next time to be a little more lighthearted.
You've been listening to the Surely Not Podcast, a production of Whitewater Publications. With Cassie Garrett and myself, Alan Stanger, we hope you've enjoyed. Please take time on whatever podcast app or player that you are using and leave us a 5-star rating and a positive comment. It just helps promote the podcast that much more. If you like, go to our web hosting site, anchor.fm, and leave us a message right on our podcast page, and we'll get back to you. It's a fun time. If you got suggestions, leave it on our Facebook page, or you can email us at surelynotpodcast1@gmail.com. So till next time, I'm Alan Stanger for Cassie Garrett, and you know what they say.
Surely not.